Chapter 4. Every cat has to learn to be domestic. Cats are not born attached to people. They're born ready to learn how to attach themselves to people. Any kitten denied experience with people will revert toward its ancestral wild state and become feral. Something in their evolution has given domestic cats the inclination, and it's no more than that, to trust people during a brief period when they're tiny kittens. This minute advantage enabled a few wild cats to leave their origins behind and find their place in environments created by the planet's dominant species. Only one other animal has done this more successfully than the domestic cat, and that, of course, is the domestic dog. Footnote: I suspect, and this is only conjecture, that it is no coincidence that both cat and dog are members of the carnivora. End of note. Like most dogs, kittens arrive into the world helpless and then have just a few weeks in which to learn about the animals around them, an even shorter time for cats than for dogs, before they must make their own way in the world. By comparison with our own infants, which are dependent on us for years, this is a very brief period. Even in their wild ancestors, the wolf and the wild cat, this window must have been open just a crack, waiting for evolution to allow the young animals of these two species to learn to trust us, and thereby become domesticated. Kittens and puppies alike become more closely integrated into human society than any other animal can. But the way the two species achieve this differ. Early scientific studies of dogs from the 1950s established the notion of a primary socialization period, a few weeks in the puppy's life when it is especially sensitive to learning how to interact with people. A puppy, handled every day from 7 to 14 weeks of age, will be friendly toward people and virtually indistinguishable from a puppy whose handling started 4 weeks earlier. For the next quarter century, scientists generally assumed that kittens must be the same, and it was not essential to handle kittens until they were 7 weeks old. In the 1980s, when researchers finally performed corresponding tests on cats, those recommendations had to change. These experiments confirmed that the concept of a socialization period could indeed be applied to cats, but that this period was comparatively curtailed in kittens. The researchers handled some kittens from 3 weeks old, some from 7 weeks old, and the rest not until the testing started at 14 weeks. The kittens started learning about people much earlier than puppies do. As expected, the kittens handled from their 3rd week were happy to sit on a lap when they reached 14 weeks old, but those whose contact with people had been delayed to 7 weeks jumped off within half a minute, though not as quickly as those that had never been handled during their first 14 weeks, which typically stayed put for less than 15 seconds. Could this be explained by the 7-week handled kittens being more active than the 3-week? In other words, no less happy to be on a person's lap, just more eager to explore their surroundings. It quickly became obvious that this could not be the cause. When each kitten was subsequently given the opportunity to cross a room toward one of their handlers, only the 3-week kittens did so reliably, and were quick to do it too, giving every impression that they were attracted to the person who was by then very familiar to them. The 7-week and unhandled kittens did not seem unduly frightened of the person and would occasionally get close to her. Some even apparently asked to be picked up, but these two groups were more or less indistinguishable in their behavior. The handling that those 7-week kittens received up to the point of testing had not produced the powerful attraction to people that was obvious from the behavior of the 3-week kittens. For the scientists taking part, the tests simply formalized what was already obvious from the kittens' behavior. As the leader of the research team noted, in observing and interacting with these cats during testing and in their home rooms, it was obvious to everyone working in the lab that the late handled, i.e. 7-week cats, behaved more like the unhandled cats. The scientists concluded that cats need to start learning about people much earlier than dogs must. Dog breeders ought to handle puppies before they are 8 weeks old, but if puppies are not handled until that age, then with the right remedial treatment, they can still become perfectly happy pets. A kitten that encounters its first human in its 9th week is likely to be anxious when near people for the rest of its life. The paths that lead to an affectionate pet on one hand and a wild scavenger on the other diverge early in the cat's life. Indeed, if it were any earlier, few cats would be able to forge relationships with us. Even though the most crucial changes start in the 3rd week, the first 2 weeks of the kitten's life are far from uneventful. For the first 14 days of a kitten's life, the most important feature in its world is its mother. Kittens are born blind, deaf, and incapable of moving more than a few inches unaided. They cannot regulate their own body temperatures. Especially if the litter is larger than average, and the kittens are correspondingly small, they carry little in the way of energy reserves, and even the loss of a fraction of an ounce in weight can lead to weakness, and, if outside intervention is not forthcoming, death. Their survival, then, depends on their mother's capabilities. Tomcats play no part in rearing offspring, and many mothers that give birth outside the home raise their kittens without help. The mother's choice of nest site is crucial, especially when the luxury of giving birth indoors is not available. Kittens must be well protected from the weather and from potential predators. After the first 24 hours, which all mother cats spend suckling and grooming their kittens, she may have to leave them to find food. And if that involves hunting, as it would in the wild, that may take some time. Once kittens are a few days old, the mother may move them to a different nest site if her instincts make her feel uncomfortable about the original den. Kittens have a special scruffing reflex that enables her to do this quickly and quietly without drawing attention to their vulnerability. She grasps them in her mouth by the loose skin on the back of their necks, and they instantly go limp and apparently oblivious to their surroundings until she drops them in the new nest, when they appear confused but otherwise unaffected. Listen to the section Clipnosis at the end of this chapter. Many mother cats try to move their litters at least once before they wean them, but science has yet to find out why. In the wild, a mother cat will inevitably carry a few fleas, and because she has to spend so much time in the nest, flea eggs accumulate there. When they become adult fleas, 3 or 4 weeks later, a single hop will take them onto a kitten. Removing the kittens from such an obvious source of infestation seems a good strategy, and may be one explanation for nest moving. But so far no evidence has been found that this reduces the number of fleas that kittens carry. Nest moving may simply be a response to a disturbance that made the mother anxious, or may sometimes be strategic, bringing the kittens closer to the source of food onto which their mother intends to wean them. The kittens may suffer if the mother cat moves them too early or chooses the wrong new nest site. Kittens are vulnerable to becoming chilled, especially in damp weather that also favors the transmission of respiratory viruses. Many feral kittens, particularly those born in the autumn, succumb to cat flu. As my own experience shows, not all cats are innately skilled at parenthood. My cat, Libby, having a nervous disposition, was not the best mother. As the time for her to have her litter approached, we tried to keep her in the same room where she herself had been born, presuming she would find the surroundings reassuring. But she was restless, patrolling the house and looking into every open cupboard and drawer as if undecided as to the safest location. At least, she showed no inclination to give birth outdoors. Eventually, she decided to produce her kittens within a few feet of where she herself had come into the world. We should not have relaxed. A few days later, we discovered the kittens scattered all around the house. For a few hours after the birth, Libby lay with her 3 kittens and allowed them to suckle, but after that she appeared to lose interest, spending too much time away from them. Her mother, Lucy, was intrigued by the kittens, but at this stage played no part in looking after them. When we checked the kittens' weights, they seemed to be growing, so we were not unduly worried, until Libby began to try to pick them up in her mouth and carry them away from the den we had built for her. Her inexperience as a first-time mother showed immediately as she grasped the kittens rather roughly by the head, only occasionally and apparently accidentally gripping them correctly by their scruffs. Once she had gotten the hang of carrying them, she began to look for places to hide them. Without our intervention, Libby's kittens would surely have perished. She would find a secluded place to hide the first kitten, and then return to the other two, pick up another, and take that one somewhere else, ignoring the cries of the first. After taking the third to yet another location, Libby would wander off as if unsure what to do next. Each time this happened, we searched out all the kittens and put them back in the original den. Once or twice we tried constructing a new den, in the same room, but with completely new bedding, so that it smelled nothing like the first, hoping this might fool Libby into believing she had successfully moved the whole litter herself. Still, the removals persisted. Finally, Grandmother Lucy, her maternal instincts aroused, began to retrieve the kittens herself. Libby, perhaps sensing that she should follow her mother's lead, gradually gave up trying to move the litter. She continued to feed them, and they grew stronger, but from then on it was Lucy who groomed them and kept them together until they were ready to be weaned. Lucy seemed to know the kittens by their appearance and by their smell, but first-time mothers can behave as if they do not immediately know what a kitten is. Rather, they respond to a single powerful stimulus that ensures that they take care of their newborns. This is the kitten's high-pitched distress call, uttered if it is cold, hungry, or out of contact with its littermates. When the mother cat hears this sound coming from outside the nest, indicating that a kitten has strayed away, she should instantly begin a search, and, when she finds the kitten, retrieve it by its scruff. If the kittens are all in the nest and calling together, her instinct is to lie down and encircle them with her paws, drawing them onto her abdomen and allowing them to suckle. Gradually, over the course of their first couple of weeks of life, she seems to recognize the kittens as independent animals, though whether she ever comes to know them as individuals is unclear. Kittens are so vulnerable in the first few weeks of their lives that their survival depends almost entirely on their mother's skill. Libby seemed to lack several components of maternal instinct, but even if just one is defective, the kitten's chances become slim. Yet if cats are as little removed from the wild as many researchers feel they are, they should, and most do, retain the ability to get everything right the first time without practice. Research on free-ranging cats has produced little evidence to support the idea that first-time mothers are less successful than second-time, although Libby's inability to locate her kitten's scruffs is reportedly quite common in inexperienced mother cats, known as queens. Of course, domestication has provided an obvious safety net, the intervention of human owners. For about the first 2 weeks of their lives, kittens define their world through smell and touch. At birth, their eyes and ears are still sealed, providing them with little useful information. Kittens recognize their mother immediately, initially just by her warmth and feel, and rapidly also learn her characteristic smell. They probably have little idea of what she is supposed to smell like. Orphaned kittens fed on an artificial mother that smells nothing like a cat quickly learn its scent instead, a kind of imprinting. In one classic series of experiments, researchers constructed a surrogate mother from artificial fur fabric through which latex teats protruded, only some of which provided milk. Each teat was scented differently, for example, with cologne or oil of wintergreen. The kittens quickly learned which scent indicated a milk-delivering teat. Each kitten gradually develops a nipple preference, based also on the nipple's odor rather than its position, since each kitten knows precisely where it wants to suckle whichever way its mother is lying. They find their preferred nipple by following the odor trail made up of their own saliva and probably secretions from scent glands under their chins that are left behind on their mother's fur as they approach the nipple. Kittens are unusually flexible when bonding with their mothers, a quality that works in their favor when their mothers are part of a social group. Often these groups are composed of close relatives, say a female and her adult daughters, which have grown up together and know one another well enough to overcome their natural mistrust of other cats. Such cats will spontaneously share nests and pool their kittens. Local authorities once asked me how to handle such a cat colony living underneath some temporary buildings. Having pointed them toward humane alternatives to putting out poison, I located an animal charity to trap the cats and relocate them. It was springtime, and three of the females were heavily pregnant. They gave birth within a few days of one another. Even though they were given three separate boxes, the mothers soon put all the kittens together and each fed them indiscriminately. 10 kittens feeding from three queens, all within a few inches of one another, produced the loudest chorus of purring I have ever heard. As this implies, mother cats can be equally indiscriminate when identifying their own kittens from those of other cats, or at least those of their relatives, which may smell similar. For cats, the general rule appears to be that if a kitten is in your nest, it must be yours. Some cat rescue organizations exploit this quality to raise orphaned kittens. Some mother cats will readily accept an extra kitten that is gently slipped in with their own, even if their ages don't match up. Some will even suckle entire litters introduced to them as their own kittens are removed after weaning. This doesn't seem to do the mother any harm, provided, of course, she gets enough to eat. Both mother cat and kittens are unusually trusting during the first few weeks after birth. For the mother, this is due to a wave of the hormone oxytocin, which drives her to make her kittens her top priority. For kittens, the factor may not be a hormone, such as oxytocin, but instead their early inability to produce stress hormones, such as adrenaline. A kitten that suckles for a few seconds too long and is accidentally dragged out of the nest as its mother leaves should be terrified. After all, this is potentially the most traumatic experience it has had in its short life. We can see the latent danger in this situation. The last thing such a kitten should do is make an association between the mother's smell and the shock of falling to the ground outside the nest. If it does, when the mother returns, it might shy away from her, rather than immediately attaching to her to feed as it should. However, thankfully, kittens' inability to produce stress hormones means that such incidents leave no lasting impression. Once a kitten reaches 2 weeks of age, its eyes and ears open, and it begins to take its first faltering steps around the nest. Its stress mechanisms then begin to function, enabling it to learn both what's bad and what's good about the world. From this point, what the kittens learn depends on whether their mother is present. If she's there, the kittens take their lead from her, but do not become stressed, so may not remember much about anything untoward that happens to them. Only if she is absent, and they must make their own decisions on how to react, do their stress levels rise abruptly, cementing their memory of the trauma and whether they dealt with it effectively or not. This social buffering is probably adaptive for cats in the wild. A mother that is absent for long periods is probably having difficulty finding enough food for her litter or to replenish her milk. So the kittens must start to learn about the world soon if they are to stand any chance of survival. Kittens, whose mother is usually with them in the nest, can delay learning about any perils that may await them because they can rely on their mother to protect them. The personalities of cats are powerfully affected by what they learn when they're tiny kittens. Most kittens born in houses will be looked after both by their mothers and by their mothers' owners. But those unfortunate enough to undergo prolonged stress in their first few weeks of life may grow up to have enduring emotional and cognitive problems. For example, kittens that are abandoned by their mothers and are then hand-raised can become excessively attention-seeking toward their first owners, though some subsequently seem to grow out of this. Based on what we know about other mammals in similar situations, we can assume that after the mother's departure, the kitten's brains endure high levels of stress hormones. These consistently high levels cause permanent changes in their developing brains and stress hormone systems, such that they may overreact to unsettling events later in life. Such cats may not make particularly satisfying pets, but this is by no means to say that they are mentally defective. Rather, their apparently abnormal behavior is an evolved adaptation. A mother that has struggled to raise her kittens was likely affected by some difficulty that has made food hard to find. a kitten whose mother has struggled to raise it, therefore expects to emerge into an uncertain world in which it may have to live on its wits and thereby outcompete its littermates and any other kittens born in the vicinity. The kittens of a relaxed, well-fed mother are likely to be able to depend on a more stable world, one in which they will have the time to hone their social skills and reproduce several times over a period of years. Such kittens, of course, are likely to make better pets than kittens that have been stressed in early life. As a kitten begins its third week, it embarks on the most crucial 6 weeks of its life, as far as its development is concerned. Listen to the section, Stages of Development, at the end of the chapter. From this point onward, its eyes, ears, and legs begin to function reliably, and, guided by its hormones, it begins to make decisions about whom and what it should interact with, and whom and what it should keep away from. At the same time, its brain is growing rapidly, every day adding thousands of new nerve cells and millions of new connections among them, establishing the framework for storing all the knowledge it accumulates. Its mother is still a crucial influence during this period, but from now on, a kitten gradually becomes able to distinguish its littermates from one another and to learn about the other animals around it, including people. Kittens born in the wild also begin to learn how to hunt, for within a few short weeks, they will need to feed themselves. Most of the kittens' interactions with one another are playful, and for the first half of the socialization period, most of their play is directed at other kittens. However, we do not know if early on each kitten recognizes that what it is playing with is another kitten. Most of the actions performed are similar to those used later toward objects. Bouts of play are short and disorganized, and it may be that the movements of the other kitten trigger each attempt at play. By the time they are 6 weeks old, though, kittens will play on their own with the objects around them, poking, pouncing, chasing, batting them with their paws, and tossing them in the air. These are all actions adult cats use when they capture prey, so biologists have looked for an elusive link between the amount of play that kittens perform and their hunting ability when they grow up. While play with objects hones the kitten's general coordination, it's probably not the most important factor in determining whether a cat grows up to be capable of catching enough prey to keep itself fed. For feral kittens, their mother enables them to learn how to fend for themselves. As soon as they are old enough, she brings recently killed prey back to the nest. As they become better coordinated, she brings back prey that is still alive. This gives the kittens the opportunity both to handle prey and to find out what it tastes like. The mother doesn't seem actively to teach them how to deal with prey. Rather, she simply places it in front of them and allows their predatory instincts to take over. If they show no interest, she may draw attention to the prey by starting to feed on it herself, stopping when the kittens begin to join in. Of course, this process rarely happens with owned cats, unless the mother happens to be an accomplished and habitual hunter herself, in which case small, gory presents may find their way into the nest. Whether a cat is destined to be a hunter, or more likely not, among the most important events in a kitten's life is when its mother decides to start weaning it. This typically occurs in the fourth or fifth week of the kitten's life, but maybe earlier if the litter is large, six or more kittens, or if the mother is unwell or stressed. Whatever the circumstances, the mother cat drives this process. Kittens rarely, if ever, decide to wean themselves. At the decisive moment, the mother starts to spend time away from the kittens, or simply blocks access to her milk by lying or crouching with her abdomen pressed firmly to the ground. Not surprisingly, the kittens begin to get hungry, and for a few days their weight gain, steady since birth, slows down or even stops. Hunger drives them to become much more inquisitive about other possible sources of food. In the home, with human owners supplying the grub, the new source of food should be special kitten food. In the wild, mother cats bring prey back to the nest and dissect it, making it easier for small mouths to chew. The kittens continue to pester her for milk, but for the next couple of weeks or so, she will ration them, to force them to develop their ability to eat and digest meat. As their eating habits change, so do their insides. Meat takes longer to digest than milk, so kittens' intestines become lined with villi, small finger-shaped projections that increase the amount of nutrients that can be absorbed. Lactase, the enzyme that breaks down milk sugar, is permanently replaced by sucrase to break down the sugars in muscle, such that many adult cats find milk indigestible. The mother cat is simply being cruel to be kind. When the kittens become fully weaned at about 8 weeks of age, she may spontaneously allow them to suckle occasionally, possibly as a way of reinforcing family ties, although in a domestic situation they may no longer be with her. Scientists have sometimes portrayed the weaning process as a conflict between mother and offspring. One theory holds that an animal such as a cat that can have several litters in a lifetime should behave in a way that balances out the survival of each of her litters. For example, the demands of an extra large litter might become excessive, jeopardizing her own health and therefore her chance of having any more litters. In some mammals, including mice and prairie dogs, mothers with large litters may kill one or two of the weakest members, presumably to ensure the survival of the rest. However, this tactic has never been recorded with cats, although a sickly kitten may simply be ignored by its mother, presumably because it does not produce the right signals to induce her to care for it. Each kitten must do its best to survive, regardless of whether it is its mother's favorite. If it does not survive to maturity, it will never leave any offspring of its own. Given that female cats tend toward promiscuity, no kitten can be sure that it is closely related even to its littermates, let alone to any of the members of its mother's next litter. It therefore has to put its own interests first, even more so than if it could be sure that it shared both parents with its littermates. It therefore has no incentive to give up suckling, even to the point of weakening its mother. A mother cat cannot afford to be too hard-hearted toward her offspring. After all, she cannot be at all certain that she will have the chance to breed again. She therefore carefully assesses their needs, keeping them hungry enough to want to try meat while not significantly compromising their health. For example, if her milk temporarily dries up before she's finished weaning them, she will start nursing them again before weaning is over, as soon as her milk comes in again. This ensures that they don't miss out on any essential nutrients. Likewise, the kittens themselves cannot be too aggressive in demanding milk from their mother, for, in the wild, they need to keep her on their side for several weeks longer, as she teaches them essential hunting skills. Furthermore, if her milk supply starts to fail early, kittens increase the amount of time they spend playing, presumably to prepare themselves for learning how to hunt. While most young animals, mice, for example, play less when they're hungry, presumably to conserve energy, for kittens, play is preparation for hunting behavior. Responding to their mother's predicament, such kittens are thereby preparing themselves for premature independence. Play prepares kittens not just for hunting, but also for getting along with other cats. If domestic cats were as solitary as their ancestors, they would have little need for social graces. For animals whose individual contact is restricted to brief courtship and mating, and then the raising of each litter by its mother, social play is unsophisticated and brief. For domestic kittens, play with littermates becomes increasingly sophisticated as they get older, and no longer revolves around the elements of hunting behavior. By about 6 to 8 weeks of age, kittens begin to use specific signals aimed at persuading their littermates to play with them, such as rolling onto their backs, placing their mouth over another kitten's neck, or rearing onto their hind legs. By 10 weeks, assuming the litter is still together, since many kittens are homed at 8 weeks old, each kitten will have come to learn the correct response to each of these. Belly up for stand up and vice versa, and belly up for vertical stance. As the kittens get older, play tends to get rougher, and occasionally one of the kittens gets hurt. To avoid any confusion between play and a real fight, kittens will use a play face to indicate their friendly intentions, particularly when in the vulnerable belly up position. They may also use special movements of their tails to signal playfulness, but so far no scientist has been able to decode these. Older kittens also have a special signal showing when they want to stop playing. They arch their back, curl their tail upward, and then leap off the ground. If a litter is left together after the normal age for homing, social play occupies more and more of the kitten's time, peaking somewhere between 9 and 14 weeks of age. All this sophistication confirms that domestic kittens are designed to become social adults, a process that begins when they are just a few weeks old and, unless interrupted, continues for several months. Surprisingly, we know little about the optimum time for cats to learn how to interact with other cats. Experiments pinpointing the sensitive period for socialization to people have yet to be repeated to uncover the same for cat interaction. But we can assume that there is more than one sensitive period, each tailored to the social environment in which the kitten finds itself. The first period spans the kitten's first 2 weeks, when kittens form their attachment to their mother based on olfaction. During the first 4 weeks or so of life, each kitten learns how to interact with its siblings. It may have little need to recognize its littermates as individuals, but that probably follows soon after. Kittens are likely born with a template as to what another kitten looks like, but this is easily overwritten if there are no other kittens available. Thus, a kitten raised in a litter of puppies accepts the puppies as its littermates and does not appear to know that it itself is a kitten. However, if a puppy is introduced into a litter of kittens, even though they are perfectly friendly toward the puppy, the kittens still prefer one another's company. Cats' brains must be constructed in such a way that they form stronger attachments to cats than to other four-legged animals. From the 5th week onward, kittens certainly learn a great deal from their littermates, in particular the most effective way to play. If a kitten from a litter of one is introduced to a kitten that has grown up with other kittens, it will play much more roughly than normal. Hand-raised kittens are even more inept. Some turn out to be so aggressive that other kittens actively avoid them. Others become excessively bonded to their human owners and seem barely to realize that they are cats at all. We do not yet know why some go one way and some the other, but possibly some important interactions between socialization to cats and socialization to people help to produce a cat that doesn't overreact to new situations. A balanced individual, if you like. Hand-reared kittens may develop extreme personalities because they miss out on these interactions due to their lack of contact with other cats. Littermates that are homed together usually form a stronger bond with one another than two unrelated cats. In August and September of 1998, a student and I studied this by recording the behavior of pairs of cats in boarding catteries. People who have a pair of cats that get along together at home will usually ask for them to be housed together when they board them. We compared 14 pairs of littermates that had lived together since birth with 11 pairs of unrelated individuals that had not met each other until at least one of the pair was more than 1 year old. Despite the hot weather, all the littermate pairs slept in contact with each other, but we observed only 5 of the unrelated pairs ever lying in contact with each other, and even those only occasionally. Many of the littermate pairs groomed each other, the unrelated pairs never did. Almost all the littermates were happy to feed side by side. We had to feed most of the unrelated pairs from separate bowls or in turns. This study does not clarify whether just being littermates makes cats friendly to one another, but this seems the most likely explanation. It's unlikely that it was simply the age difference between the unrelated pairs that made them unfriendly, since if a kitten is kept with its mother rather than being homed, the mother and kitten generally remain friends for life. However, scientists have yet to investigate whether littermates can recognize one another as relations, say, if they are separated and reintroduced months later, as dogs can, or whether cats use a simple rule of paw and try to remain friends with any cat that they've lived with continuously since the 2nd month of their life, that is, during the socialization period. Unlike most kittens born in homes, feral kittens can continue to interact with their littermates and any other nearby litters until they are at least 6 months old. Most kittens born outdoors are born in the spring. By autumn, their mother severs all ties with her male offspring and may actively drive them away, a sensible precaution against risk of inbreeding. Up to that point, the kittens will have had many opportunities to learn more about what it means to be a cat, opportunities generally denied to pet cats of the same age. Female kittens, on the other hand, often do not leave their natal group until they are several years old, so they have even more scope for learning feline social graces. We often see a corresponding difference between the sexes in kittens' choice of company. As they grow, feral male kittens spend most of their time with brothers from the same litter. They rarely interact with kittens from other litters, even those they are related to. In any one year, most litters born within a feral colony will be first or second cousins. Male cats, assuming they avoid being neutered, are destined to lead solitary lives, and when they reach maturity, must compete with one another for female attention. Female feral kittens initially spend most time with their littermate sisters, but at a few months old will probably also regularly interact with both their aunts and their aunts or other female relatives' kittens. The third and fourth months of a kitten's life are full of play, regardless of whether they are male or female. We do not know whether denying kittens the opportunity to play with other kittens during this period has significant consequences. Perhaps because cats are often conceived of as solitary creatures for which a social life is a luxury, not a necessity, we have not scientifically investigated this topic. However, it seems possible that continued interaction with their peer group during adolescence makes a major contribution to cats' development as social animals. The most important social skill a cat must learn to become a pet is, of course, not how to interact with cats, though that is useful, but how to interact with people. In this respect, cats rank second only to dogs. Like dogs, cats can learn how to behave toward their own kind and toward people, not only virtually simultaneously, but also without confusing the two. Nearly all other domestic animals are not as adaptable. For example, a lamb that has to be hand-raised will attach itself very powerfully to the person that feeds it, as if that person was its mother. Unless introduced to other mother-reared lambs as quickly as possible, its behavior may be abnormal for the rest of its life. Moreover, whether sheep are tame or not, their social behavior is always primarily directed at other sheep. Cats, like dogs, are capable of multiple socialization, the ability to become attached to animals of several different species, and not just people and other cats. Kittens raised in a household with a cat-friendly dog will continue to be friendly toward that dog, and potentially other similar dogs, for their entire lives. We do not know precisely how cats or dogs achieve this, but we can speculate that cats keep the rules for interacting with each separate species in discrete parts of their brains, as the human brain stores different languages in physically distinct areas of the frontal lobes. Between the ages of 4 and 8 weeks, kittens form their view of people, or at least the people they meet. Kittens that meet only women during that period, as can happen in some breeding catteries, may turn out fearful of men or children once they are homed. A kitten that is handled by only one person may become very strongly attached to that person, purring whenever it is picked up, and insistently pestering that person for attention, an intensity that suggests that the person has, in the kitten's mind, taken the place of its mother. Introducing a kitten to a wide variety of people before the age of 8 weeks seems to produce an approachable cat. Doing so seems to block the development of a strong attachment to one person, and instead builds a general picture of the human race in the cat's mind. Whether, say, three categories, men, women, children, develop simultaneously, or whether kittens learn to place all humans in a single category is unknown. But the end result is self-evident, a cat that is not fearful of humans. Kittens need a lot of daily exposure to people to become optimally socialized to them. In one study, 15 minutes handling each day produced a kitten that would approach people, but not as enthusiastically as a kitten that had been handled for 40 minutes per day. Likewise, the 15-minute kitten would not stay on a lap for as long as the 40-minute. Fortunately for them, most kittens born in homes get this much attention without any special effort being taken, thanks to their irresistible cuteness. Kittens born in animal shelters may not have the same luxury. Concerns over transmission of disease between litters may stand in the way of optimal socialization. The standard way of looking after mother cats with kittens, in which most contact with people occurs during routine feeding and cleaning, produces reasonably friendly kittens, but these will almost inevitably not have as much human contact as kittens born in a home. However, veterinary behavior specialist Rachel Casey and I found that additional handling and play, involving several people rather than just one, even as little as a few minutes extra each day, from their 3rd week to their 9th week, produced a dramatic improvement in how friendly these kittens were. This increased interaction affected their relationship with the people who adopted them, who were not informed at the time whether or not their kitten had received extra handling. As they reached their first birthdays, the kittens given extra handling were noticeably more relaxed than those raised in the standard way. Likewise, their owners reported that they felt closer to them. The extra handling produced a long-term effect on the strength of the bond between cat and owner. In the UK, 8 weeks old, the end of weaning, is the traditional time to home a random bred cat. But neither our studies nor any other published research has yet addressed whether 8 weeks of age is the right time for a kitten to move to its new home, especially from the viewpoint of how well it will bond with its new owners. From the new owner's perspective, this age seems entirely understandable. After all, kittens are at their cutest at around 8 weeks of age. However, pedigree cats are generally not homed until they are 13 weeks of age. The Governing Council of the Cat Fancy, one of the bodies that regulates cat breeding in the UK, strongly recommends that no kitten should be permitted to go to a new home any earlier than this, because until then, it has not received its initial course of vaccinations and is therefore susceptible to disease. Unfortunately, this difference in traditions cannot tell us whether age of homing affects the relationship with the new owner. The personalities of the main types of pedigree breeds, Persians, Longhairs, and Orientals, Siamese, differ so much from one another and from most house cats that it would swamp any impact of even a 4-week difference in the age of homing. Kittens of any age must surely be affected by being moved to a new home. Everything they have come to know disappears at a stroke, and everything about their new home is novel. They leave the security of their mother, who has probably recently finished weaning them and has just relaxed the arm's-length attitude she had used to persuade them to accept solid food. They are plucked from the company of their littermates, whom they have gotten to know as individuals over the past month and who have been their willing play partners. They leave the security of surroundings that they know well and smell reassuringly of their mother, brothers, and sisters. The attention of unfamiliar humans, however well-meaning, is unlikely to comfort them during this period of change. Footnote: practical steps for minimizing the stress of being moved to a new house for both kittens and cats can be found on the Cats Protection website. End of note. Whether such dislocation happens at 8 or 13 weeks, or sometime in between, it takes place when the kitten is much younger than the age at which it would spontaneously leave its family group. It's a tribute to the cat's behavioral flexibility that this process works at all. Indeed, provided that they receive a reasonable amount of handling from their mother's owners, most kittens evidently adapt to their new surroundings and become attached to their new owners. They may also, although this is by no means certain, adapt to living alongside their owner's other cats. Handling between 4 and 8 weeks of age seems essential to a kitten becoming a contented pet. But what happens when handling is delayed until 6, 7, or 8 weeks, or even later? Many kittens are born to mothers who, because they are feral or stray, are wary of people and are not discovered until they begin to make their own first faltering steps into the world. In the 1990s, I worked with the UK charity Cats Protection to study this topic. Rehoming charities are frequently called in when such kittens are found, and naturally these organisations wish to help. What is the best course of action? Our study found that the older the kitten, when it was first handled, the less friendly it seemed to be, at least to begin with. Kittens that had received no human contact until they were 6 weeks old behaved distinctly from normal kittens, even after they had settled into their new surroundings at the rehoming centres. If rescued at 6 weeks, they were not easy to handle, and very few purred when stroked. Footnote: although purring is not always a reliable indicator of how friendly a kitten is, it probably was in this instance. End of note. Kittens not rescued until 8 weeks of age were difficult to handle, and those not found until 10 weeks were, at least to begin with, virtually wild. The exceptions were a few litters of kittens that, although they had not been picked up for the first time until they were 11 weeks old, had allowed themselves to be stroked occasionally while in their nests a few weeks earlier. These kittens behaved more like those rescued at 7 weeks, initially wary of people and difficult to handle. This confirms that socialization to people has to start within the first 6 or 7 weeks if it is to become effective, but that once started, the process can continue for several weeks more, especially if initial exposure has been brief. The way the kittens were handled once rescued also affected how quickly they became friendly. If they'd been handled by two or more people, they were more relaxed and playful when introduced to unfamiliar people than if they'd been looked after by only one person. Again, it appears that attachment to an individual and socialization to people in general progress in parallel at this age. Kittens who know only one person become attached to that particular person, but may remain wary of other humans. Kittens who meet several different people at roughly the same time may not become so attached, but are later much more accepting of people in general. Most of these rescued feral kittens became perfectly satisfactory pets, the same as kittens who were born in the same rescue centres and were therefore handled from a very early age. In fact, the feral kittens had received extra attention to compensate for the socialization they hadn't been able to receive before they were rescued, so many turned out to be more friendly at 1 year old than their shelter-born counterparts. However, the few kittens that were difficult to socialize at all were still unapproachable at the same age. Footnote: perhaps surprisingly, the owners of these half-wild cats didn't seem to mind. Some people seem to value cats for their wildness and may even deliberately choose a cat with a personality to match. End of note. Kittens that don't meet a human until the age of 10 weeks or older are unlikely to become pets, except in extreme circumstances. Instead, they live as stray or feral cats, living on the fringes of human activity but never becoming part of it. Most hunt to some extent, but virtually all depend on food and shelter provided by people, both accidentally and deliberately. Their only window of opportunity for accepting and then becoming attached to people has passed. The cat's social brain changes suddenly at about 8 weeks of age, and altering its basic social inclinations after that is usually impossible. The general rule is, once a feral, always a feral, unless it experiences severe physical and mental trauma, such as being hit by a motor vehicle. Occasionally, some kind-hearted soul will take a feral cat that has been the victim of an accident to a veterinarian. Many such cats are beyond saving, but those that cheat death and are nursed slowly back to health can go through an unexpected change in personality. They become attached to whomever has looked after them the most, in a manner reminiscent of a hand-raised kitten. Researchers have recorded similar changes in cats that have suffered severe and protracted fevers. Apparently, the deluge of stress hormones released in a cat that is close to death can scramble the brain enough to go through the socialization process all over again. The importance of the socialization period to a kitten's future welfare cannot be underestimated. In just 6 short weeks, beginning as it turns 2 weeks of age, this period constructs the foundations for all its subsequent social life. If the kitten is unlucky enough to have no brothers and sisters, and has no other kittens nearby, its view of what it is to be a cat is incomplete. Although cat mothers will play with single kittens, they are much less inclined to do so than other kittens. If a kitten's mother keeps it away from people, usually because she is herself not socialized to humans, the kitten is unlikely to become a pet. If it is handled by only one person, it will become attached to that person, but may form too narrow a view of what humans are like, and thus become wary of strangers. If the kitten has to be hand-reared, it misses out on learning how to be a cat, and its entire social and cognitive development may be impaired. Cats don't suddenly stop learning about people or other animals when they pass the 8-week watershed. At this point, the general course of their attachments is set, but the details of their journey through life are far from predetermined. We know that they learn a great deal more about how to interact with people throughout the first year of their life, and there's every reason to suppose that the same applies to how they adapt when they come into contact with other cats, although little research has been done on this. The way a kitten's personality develops over that first year depends not only on their experiences, but also on genetics. Like other animals, individual cats adopt different strategies for dealing with the same events, and these differences are often the product of their genes. Clipnosis. Unlike much infantile behavior, in some cats the scruff reflex mother cats use when carrying their kittens persists into adulthood. For those individuals, scruffing can be used as a gentle and humane method of quieting a fearful cat. The cat is simply grasped firmly by the skin on the back of its neck, and, if the reflex is triggered, may go into what appears to be a trance, enabling it to be picked up and carried. Its weight must be supported by the other hand. Veterinary nurses sometimes use a hands-free version, applying a line of several clothespins to the area of skin between the top of the head and the shoulders. By doing so, the nurses can complete an examination of the cat without causing it too much stress. Stages of development. The way a cat reacts to the world around it develops for at least the first year of its life, but most of the crucial changes take place in the first 3 or 4 months. Biologists divide this into 4 periods, each of which has a different significance for the growing kitten. During the prenatal period, the 2nd month of the queen's pregnancy, the kitten is largely, but not entirely, isolated from the outside world. The composition of the amniotic fluid and the blood in the placenta both reflect the mother's environment. For example, if the mother eats a strongly flavored food during this period, the kittens may prefer to be weaned onto a food with the same flavor, showing that they gain the ability to learn well before they emerge into the world. Female kittens that are adjacent to male kittens in the womb absorb some of their testosterone and are briefly more aggressive in their social play than kittens in all female litters. Such inclinations are likely to be short-lived, but more far-reaching changes are also possible. Based on what we know of other mammals, if the mother is highly stressed during her pregnancy, her stress hormones may cross the placenta and impair the development of her kitten's brains and endocrine systems. During most of the neonatal period, from birth to about 2.5 weeks of age, the kitten is deaf and blind, relying on its senses of smell and touch to bond to its mother. The socialization period begins as the eyes and ears open and begin to function in the 3rd week of life, enabling the kitten to start learning about the world around it, including the people that are caring for it and its mother. At the same time, it learns to walk and then to run. When they are not sleeping, kittens spend much of this period engaged in play, initially with one another and then increasingly with objects. The beginning of the juvenile period, at 8 weeks of age, coincides with the customary time to rehome a kitten, except pedigree kittens, traditionally homed at 13 weeks. By this point, the sensitive period for socialization is virtually over. The juvenile period ends at sexual maturity, sometime between 7 months and 1 year of age. Many pet cats will, of course, be neutered before the end of the first year.